Welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig, and in this episode, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how to be more introspective and to be a little more reflective upon your life. One of the things that we know about many great thinkers, or even just maybe even people we know in our life that seem very wise or seem very intelligent, one of the things that we know is these people are usually very introspective, or they're very good at reflecting upon the experiences that they've had in their life. And there's a couple reasons that this is important. If we're able to be introspective and we're able to understand some of the experiences that we're having, some of the things that we go through, and we understand what part of it is us, what part of it is the human reaction, what part is our own reaction, what part do we own in this interaction. And there's a reason that this is important, because the more that you know about yourself, the more knowledge that you have on how you react to things, how you behave in certain circumstances, then the better you're going to be at altering and controlling and manipulating your own behavior, your own self. So knowing and understanding ourselves is crucial. And the thing is, sometimes learning about yourself is really the key to understanding others in certain circumstances. Or it is also something helpful whenever you know about yourself and you're actually able to separate what part is you from someone else's experience. Now, this is something that many therapists have experiences with, because one of the things that we have to learn to do, and to some extent we're even trained to do, is whenever someone is telling us about their experience or their story, we have to work on actively taking out our experiences, our knee-jerk reactions to what someone else says or what someone else is talking about, so that we can help them become, you know, more introspective, or so that we can help explore their experience more with them without tainting them with our own perspective. This is something that's really important, because a lot of times in therapy, you are able to be introspective because someone is helping you become introspective. But in this episode, we're going to talk about how to go about doing that yourself. So the first part about introspective, or being introspective, or even being reflective upon your experiences, is actually probably one of the hardest parts, where most people get stuck. You see, it doesn't really matter how smart you are. What matters is actually creating a practice around this. So the first thing that you actually have to do is actually make the time to be introspective about things. So I do a lot of thinking about things just in general. And one of the things, like especially starting this podcast, is I start to recognize that there are things that I want to communicate to the world, that I want to get out into the world, and I want people to know about. You know, I don't want them to have to be like me and have to read a book or have to research or have to make mistakes or anything to discover these things. I wanted to be able to come onto this podcast and be able to listen to it and be like, wow, that's really great. I'm going to make sure that I incorporate that into whatever I'm doing so that I can make my life better. And the thing is, going through and thinking about and actually conducting a podcast leads me a lot of times to thinking about what it is that I'm trying to communicate. And that gives me a little bit of self-reflection time, because I start to ask myself, what is it about this podcast that, or what is it that, how do I feel about myself because I'm doing this podcast? How does this podcast make me feel about me? And the thing is, if I'm taking time to actually think about these questions and answering them, that's kind of that first checkbox that we need to look for, is making the time for us just to actually sit and think about our own experiences. And like I said, with therapists, we're kind of lucky because we have the opportunity to hold space for people that come to see us to be able to do this, and we get the opportunity to witness it. But those of you that are listening to this that maybe have never been to therapy, or if you've been to therapy and you just haven't reflected upon it or got the opportunity to notice it, you might not have really realized it and kind of solidified what this actually means. So being able to create space so that you can actually start to think about some of the experiences that you've had, right? Whether or not it's experiences at work, experiences at home, experiences with your children, experiences with coworkers, experiences with your lover, experiences with anyone that you may meet, or even just experiences that you have on your own. You get to learn different things about yourself by being introspective. And those are things that you get to have, right, in your back pocket about yourself. So I may have even given some of these examples. Whenever I hold time and I've reflected upon things, for me personally, it has led to some pretty groundbreaking discoveries for myself. And one of the big discoveries that I've made about myself personally is that I don't really have a lot of willpower. And if, some of the people that are listening to this that may know me, or maybe my friends or even colleagues, they wouldn't actually, they might even argue with me about that, or they may not really understand what I'm saying with that. And because on the outside, it would look like that I am a fairly disciplined person. However, I want to tell you guys right now that if I go down the aisle of a Walmart, or a go down the aisle of a Walgreens or CVS, and they have those little candy boxes there, like the Mike and Ikes, or the Sprees, or the Lemon Heads, or the Sour Patch Kids, or anything like that. If I go down the aisle and they have a deal that's four boxes for $4. There's a very good chance that if I go down that aisle, that I will not be able to say no. There's a very good chance that if I order a pizza, I will not have any leftovers of my pizza. I will eat the entire thing. So that's what I mean whenever I say, like, for me, I have recognized that for me, there is, going through that introspective part and reflecting upon this, what is it that makes it so that I don't have the willpower to say no in those moments? And it's actually fairly simple that for me, I've discovered that in those moments where I'm placing myself in a risky situation, I don't have the willpower to say no. So I have to create tricks in order to help myself. One of the tricks that I do is I don't go down the candy aisle. Or if I know I have to go in that direction, maybe I'll ask my wife to pick that item up at the store instead. Or I'll try to circumvent that area where I know those boxes are, or something like that. So there are strategies that I have to do. Or the other night, whenever I ate a pizza, I ended up not eating the whole thing because I ate it about the half speed that I normally do. I'm a quick eater. So I ate it much slower, and because of that, I had a different experience, which that was actually just another introspective experiment that I ran for myself. I was wondering, today I'm feeling like I don't have any willpower, so how can I help myself not eat this entire pizza? I know I will eat slower, and I will try to pay really close attention to my body. And whenever I first get the signal that I'm full, I will not get up and get another piece of pizza. And you know what happened? I ate really slow. I spoiled it earlier, right? I ate really slow. and I ended up feeling full. And whenever I felt full, I did not get up to get another piece of pizza. Didn't really have to burn much willpower. Didn't really seem hard. It wasn't like something that I felt like I had to sit there and contemplate or anything like that. So I discovered something new about myself. I discovered that when it comes to eating, I may not be very good at listening to signals that my body sends, which, surprise, surprise, for a lot of us, we have this experience. And it's interesting because while I was sitting here thinking about this, I was reflecting upon my experience eating pizza. So, you know, whenever someone first started listening to this episode, they probably didn't think when I was talking about introspection and reflection upon your life and experiences that I'd be talking about my pizza eating experience. But here we go. So while I was sitting there thinking about this experience, I remembered this conversation that my wife and I had. So at the time of this recording, I have a son who is roughly 2.5 years old. And I, you know, whenever you have, he's our first child, so whenever you have your first child, you do all this research and you do all this reading and stuff. And one of the things that my wife discovered in one of these books was that you, whenever your child is eating, do not tell them to finish their plate or do not tell them to eat one more bite. This is pretty curious of me because especially in the family and culture that I've grown up in, that's pretty common. And the reason is because you want the child to learn about their own experience, their own body signals that tell them whenever they're full. So for human beings, we actually have a delayed response in our stomach communicating to our brain that we're full. And we actually do this as a survival mechanism, right? Way back when food wasn't as available, or it wasn't as plentiful in some areas of the world where you may live, there was a scarcity of food, so that whenever you hunted and killed or whenever you gathered a large amount of food, you would gorge yourself because you might not know when the next meal would be. So there was this delayed response in eating that you would actually fill yourself up a little more than you might be used to, and then you would get the signal, because then you would consume more calories that could then be turned into fat, which would burn at a slower pace in order to help you survive longer. Now that we live in a society where we might not need that function, it means that we as people, we have to eat slower so that we're able to get that signal. And this is definitely the case for me, is I eat very quickly, and because I eat quickly, I eat more food than I might intend. And as I was reflecting, as I was thinking upon this, and I made that connection between what my wife had read for our son, and I made that connection with me, and I made the connection to my own experience and my family and my culture around food, and I discovered that I eat too fast, and perhaps I need to start eating slower. And so now I'm on a new journey of working on eating slower and trying to focus on these signals that my body is sending me. So that right there is just to kind of give you an idea. Because I allowed myself to have the time to think about this, I was able to tug on that thread, and it gave me something else to pursue. Now, you notice that something else happened whenever I had the time. And the other thing that happened is when you're being introspective, you have to be curious. I was curious about me. I was curious about my own experience. I was questioning things that I had done. And I was doing this in a way where I wasn't putting myself down, right? This is something that's really important, because we as people, sometimes we can develop habits where we continually put ourselves down, or we continually think negatively about ourselves, right? I could have easily spun the, you know, me eating at a fast pace as, you know, me not being very patient, or me just being a sloppy eater, or me having bad table manners, or whatever it may be. However, that isn't the experience I had. I was just simply wondering, and actually because I was curious, that allowed my mind to be open up, because who knows, like whenever we're curious, our mind is more open to things, right? If I am thinking about a problem to solve, and I'm being curious about how to solve it, I am opening my mind up to different possibilities, right? We think about flexible type of thinkers. Flexible type of thinkers are typically very curious people because they will allow themselves to have different ideas and toy around with them, and then they can move on to another idea that may be completely off the wall. Well, in this case, the off the wall thing was, oh, my wife reading this book that helped her to understand a different way that we could work on feeding our son. And because I was curious, that thought or that memory was able to come in, and I was able to make a connection to something I was doing, which led to a discovery. So being curious, not only making the space and the time, but being curious about your own experience and the things that are happening is super critical. And this curiosity is something that usually we are all born with, and then over time, if it's not cultivated, it dies. And I'm being purposely trying to be harsh about that. Curiosity dies in our society and our experience a lot of times. And sometimes it dies because we just don't cultivate it. And what I mean by cultivate it is that we don't actually actively practice using it. We don't actively practice putting ourselves in situations where we're trying to seek creative solutions to something. Or we don't put ourselves in situations where we're trying to discover more about different things. Instead, as human beings, it's much more common for us to kind of stay in our lane, so to speak, or to choose an easy path, or a path where we understand or we know how to do something. This is something that is usually represented by how most people will take the same route home every day, to and from work, to and from the store, to and from to pick up their child, or wherever they may go. Now, those people that don't, then maybe you're a little bit more creative of a thinker. You have a little more flexibility. It's okay to take a minute or two longer route, to have just a little bit different experience. And that's something that's important. Allowing ourselves to be curious, allowing curiosity to be something that we actually strive for. And we have to be curious about ourselves, right? And that's something that's really important, like I said, for the introspective and the reflective part. So you want to create time, and you want to create that curiosity. And the other thing that is important, in my opinion, so, you know, take it what you will, and you're listening to this, so I might assume that you might want to know my opinion, but the other thing that's really important whenever you're trying to be introspective and you're giving yourself time and you're being curious about your own experience, and that curiosity comes with you asking questions about your own experience, questions and motivations and desires and all these different things. The other thing that's important is actually getting someone else involved in the introspective experience. Now, you might be listening to me say that, and you might say, Craig, well, I thought that you said that this was how to teach, do it on your own. Well, you can do it on your own, and doing it on your own is the hard way. But one of the people in my life that whenever I'm being introspective that I bounce ideas off of is my wife, right? Or my friends or family or anyone that I feel close with. Or actually, I lied. Sometimes I bounce things off strangers too, or kind of semi-strangers or acquaintances. But the thing is that whenever we get other people's input, that sometimes helps us expand the way that we think about things. Because we might not truly, like we ourselves, we have to accept that we cannot think of everything. we can't understand everything about ourselves, right? So because of this, that's where I would say, like, talking to somebody else. And yes, you could talk to a professional, but that doesn't actually have to be required. But there's also something about saying it out loud. If you've listened to the episode that I aired last, then the episode that's right before this is, like, you know, why does counseling work, or how does counseling work? And one of the things that I explained on there is actually speaking out loud actually helps process and helps different parts of the brain activate to help you have a different experience around what you're thinking and how your brain processes it, which is something that's really important. So talking to somebody else does the same thing, but it also gets their brain going and gets their brain thinking about some type of experience that you're having. I can't tell you how many times that I may have talked to somebody about, like, you know what, I'm not really quite sure why I do this, why I do X, or why I do Y, or why I do Z. So actually, I want to give you an example. And this will be a little bit different than the ones before, and it'll be very personal. So always the best kind. Whenever I was going through training to become a marriage and couples counselor, one of the things that you do is you'll record your sessions, and you'll actually watch the recordings. And in this case, there's a point in my career where I was paying somebody else to watch these recordings with me, and they were training me on what some of these things that I can correct to do better couples work, to do better work with the couples I'm working with. And it became pretty apparent that there was a pattern that was showing up whenever I'd watch these couples counseling works. And that is that I couldn't always get these couples, or I could get them to the emotional level I was looking for, but I couldn't get them to stay there too long. So they might have a beautiful interaction with each other that's absolutely dynamite, but we may only be able to stay in that place for like 5 or 10 minutes where we're moving on. And I was talking to my supervisor at the time about this, and us just kind of exploring this and trying to figure this out, and it's something I had thought about on my own. And whenever I raised this to her, she, you know, had recognized what I was talking about, and she let me know that it appears that one of the things that may be happening is you yourself may not be comfortable with staying in that emotion too long. So after she had let me know that, I continued to think on it, right? I continued to sit there and try to reflect upon my experiences, and I came to the conclusion that she was correct. There was something that happened inside of me. And so, what, you know, we continued to talk about it, continued to explore it, continued to think about it. And one of the things that I had discovered is that whenever I was growing up, one of the things that I had learned was that going too deep and staying too long into emotions didn't always work out well for me. In fact, a lot of times it didn't work out well at all. So my own experience with staying in a very emotional place for very long was something that, you know, it didn't result in good things happening. And because that was my experience, that was actually showing up in my body, in my experience, whenever I was sitting in a session with a couple. So once I became more aware of that, I started to give myself permission's not the right word. I started really focusing in those moments whenever we get to those deeper spots in the couples and the marriage counseling work, and I would kind of help myself stay there longer. And a lot of times I'd do that just by recognizing what was coming up with me and, like, how uncomfortable it was, and just letting myself know that it was going to be okay, and that it was going to be all right, and this is going to be a different experience. And guess what? Me becoming more and more aware of that and more curious about it helped me to recognize that I could stay in that position longer. And the more and more that I tried it, and the more and more that I moved forward with it, after having those conversations with this other therapist that was helping me, I was actually able, And I am able to now stay in very emotional, very awesome situations with couples where they're able to have a very great, very great dynamic, very great emotional experience with each other, very great connection. And I don't feel like I have to jump out, as quickly as I used to be able to. And that's something that's really important, because I might not have really recognized that without actually talking to somebody else, because I hadn't had that experience, or I was so wrapped up in it that my curiosity might have taken me a long time to finally get there, or it might not have ever gotten there. I don't know. And thankfully, I won't ever know, because I had already, I've already been able to kind of work through this part. So, like we talked about, having that time set aside, being curious about all aspects of your experience, and then being able to talk to somebody about it. And if I was going to sit here, I would say that those are probably some of the three most important. And like for me personally, there's not really any reason to be introspective. There's not really any reason to be reflective if you're also not going to incorporate some type of action into whatever it is that you're discovering about yourself or whatever it is that you're discovering about the world, right? So if I talked to you a lot about this, whenever I discovered things about the, my challenges with the candy or with pizza or even with this, I put something into action to be able to alter it or manipulate it, which that's ultimately one of the things that introspection and being reflective upon things helps with. Our ability to be introspective is for us, and our ability to reflect is for us, but it's also something that's important for us to recognize that almost every single way that we interact with the outside world is a manifestation of how we are, of the experiences that we've had, and a reflection of how we think and how we feel about ourselves. Now, that's a big statement to kind of chew on for a second. It means that how you act with other people, how you behave around others, how you how you go about your life living is a reflection of how you feel about yourself at any given moment. If people feel good about themselves, they are healthy, they have a healthy relationship with themselves, they're going to have a very different experience with the world around them than those of us that are not. So one of the things that's really important about being introspective is having the opportunity to actually get real with yourself, being truthful about some of the things that are important. And I think that I see this a lot because, I'm a couples and marriage counselor, is that a lot of times there are, our marriages and our relationships are one of the greatest reflections of our own inner turmoils, right? And a lot of the challenges that I face in my own marriage are actually a reflection of my own insecurity and my own lack of confidence that I may have in myself. And that is something that I have begun to recognize. And because I recognize that that is a reflection of me, this insecurity I have with myself, this lack of confidence that my wife's going to always love me and always want to be with me, because I recognize that, it makes it easier for me to recognize whenever that comes up and not react the same way. So, all of a sudden, if I am more aware of this insecurity I have, then I don't have to accuse my wife of wanting to leave me. I don't have to feel like that I have to work harder and earn more money or be a fantastic, I want to be a fantastic husband, but, I don't have to be super dad or something like that. Because if I don't, that, as soon as I make a failing that I'm going to lose my wife, that doesn't have to happen, because as soon as I feel that insecurity come up and now I'm more aware of it, I can come and let my wife know that, like, hey, I'm noticing that I'm feeling really insecure right now, or I'm not feeling very confident right now. And she actually has the opportunity to help reassure me and to let me know that she still does love me and she still does care about me. And it makes it a lot easier for her to do that because I'm coming to her in that very vulnerable way, right? I am admitting the part of myself that is coming out rather than showing her this other kind of nastier part. Because a lot of times how we interact with the world, like I said, it is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves. But if we greet the world with how we feel about ourselves and the experience that we're having with ourselves, the world reacts in a different way to us. So this being introspective and reflective not only is a way of helping you understand yourself so that you can try different things, so that you can kind of manipulate situations and environments to help you to be more successful, but it also creates a different way of having communication with those around you that you love and that you care about, so that you can have a better experience. The thing is, if I am unaware of like how insecure I feel in my relationship, or you know how much I don't really have a lot of confidence in myself, if I am not aware of those types of things, then there's no way I can talk about them, for one. And two, the way that I'm going to act, right? If I'm not feeling very confident, that means that I'm, like, for me, personality-wise, I'm going to act super confident then, right? To hide that I'm feeling, not confident. If I am feeling really insecure, then I'm going to be very accusatory towards my wife that she may not want to be in the relationship, or that she may not love me, or I may point out all the shortcomings she has in the relationship, so she has to try really hard, or she has to show me that she's still interested, or anything like that. It becomes a really nasty way of us communicating things and not actually addressing the things that are going on. So being introspective is a really good thing. And I hope that some of this simple process is a way for you to consider being introspective about yourself. I also hope that some of these examples that I gave were, you know, helpful for you in just our own introspective and our self-reflective journeys. After all, our life is a lot of, you know, mediocrity if we aren't looking at it and we aren't exploring different things. I can tell you right now that I would have never opened my own practice and gone into business with myself if I didn't sit there and reflect how I wanted my life to be. If I didn't sit there and reflect about myself and about how I felt about myself whenever I was at work working for someone else. And it's interesting because I have that experience, and then my wife has a completely different experience with that, where she feels much better whenever she is working with someone else and when she is working with a team, and you know, when she is doing X, Y, Z. And because we're able to reflect on those parts of ourselves, and we know that about each other, we can have a healthy respect that we're different. And I think that's actually another benefit of being introspective. Because the more introspective you are, the more unique you realize how you are, and the easier it is to accept that other people are not they aren't the same as you, or they might not, you know, behave or react the same way as you, and it just makes it easier to be accepting. Right? So I hope that this episode was helpful for you, and maybe it encourages you to be a little more introspective about yourself, a little more curious about you. If you found this episode helpful, I would ask that you go ahead and give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcasting app that you're listening to, or tell other people about it. This is a free resource for people just to help them understand mental health and to understand themselves and the things that go on in our ordinary human experience and our unique human experience. The other thing that I want to let you know is that if you are listening to this and there's a certain topic that you may want to hear about that we haven't talked about on here, then I'd encourage you to reach out. My email is Craig, Craig, at lifecarecounselingstl.com. Again, that is Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at lifecarecounselingstl.com. And if there's a certain topic, mental health topic, that you would like me to talk about, just let me know. I know that, I've been a little bit, I've been having trouble being more consistent in the podcast lately just because of how crazy life has been right now, and taking care of, some people in my family that have been ill. So I am actually looking forward to getting back on track here and producing more of these episodes to be able to help you understand mental health a little more and the things that are happening with you and others around you, and to be able to have more guests on here here soon. So I look forward to doing that for you guys because, like I said earlier, there's a lot that I love about being able to do this for people, just so they can understand mental health, and maybe so that we can actually even reduce that stigma a little more. So, again, thank you for listening to this episode, and until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.